This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. Joining me as usual, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks so much. Crazy busy show today. Coming on later in the hour, Raptors analyst Leo Routens, Joe the Throw Theismann, but let's get right at it. We're pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, former St. Louis Blue, the co-host of TSN's, and Toronto Maple Leaf for that matter, co-host of TSN's First Up, Monday mornings, Monday to Friday. Of course, I'm talking about Carlo Colaiacovo. Carlo, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning, boys. Looks ready to talk some sports.
Let's talk some sports. We kept you off the golf course today, Carlo, so we apologize for that.
It's all good, man. I'm trying to get as many rounds as I can here before the weather turns on us. So let's feel. I'm actually honored to and lucky to be on with you guys. I know we've tried many times, but a lot to dive into right now.
Carlo, thanks so much. And as I said, I was announcing you as a former Toronto Maple Leaf, former St. Louis Blue. I almost said what I really remember you as, which was a Toronto Red Wing. that is going back a long, long time ago.
It sure is.
The days I used to coach minor hockey, I think you guys were practicing down on Chesswood, and you guys used to practice before we did in another arena. Anyways, Carlo, we're tight for time today, and we got so much to talk about. Joe Thornton, TJ Brody, Wayne Simmons, Zach Bogosian, Jimmy Vesey, Nick Robertson. Should I be reserving my place on the parade route? Carlo, let's get into it.
Well, I think you're definitely reserving your place in the parade route because we're talking about a team and an organization that hasn't won a playoff round in 16 years. So that's something to, you know, at least, you know, put a little bit more of more patience in. I know there's not much patience in Maple Leafs land, but I've always been a believer that you got to learn how to win in the playoffs first before you decide to label yourself as a Stanley Cup contender. Do I like the pieces that the Maple Leafs have added? Of course. These are the moves that people expected them to make, because when you don't win, there's always changes that come to the forefront in an off season. And for the Maple Leafs, I think everybody would say that they're disappointed that they didn't go after Alex Pietrangelo a little bit harder, because it would have addressed and checked all the boxes under defense. When you talk about improving that area, but I think you've got to compliment them for, you know, the job that they've done in supplementing other pieces that could help round out their roster. I think the Maple Leafs, like everybody in hockey, watched the way the Tampa Bay Lightning transformed themselves to win a Stanley Cup and understand that you need balance in your lineup. And I think the additions that they've made have helped address those needs. You talk about, you know, Wayne Simmons, Zach Bogosian, TJ Brody. I don't think any of those guys would be considered top guys that you would add, but they're important pieces and they all bring something different and help round out this roster a little better. I mean, I don't know how I feel about the Joe Thornton move. I love Joe Thornton. I think he's an outstanding player. His record and his profile speaks for itself. I think that was more of a move that was a want more than a need. When you got Jason Spezza already on your roster, you add another older guy like Wayne Simmons. Kyle Dubas goes out and says that he wants to address his bottom six and wants to be tougher to play against. As much as that's a great name to bring in, I just don't know how that fits a need for the Maple Leafs. But I guess we'll see how it plays out. Obviously, aside from the game on the ice, there's important intangibles that a guy like Joe Thornton brings, and I'm pretty sure everybody's excited to see that play out.
Naz, I'll turn it over to you.
Carlo, the defense was the issue last year and the year before and the year before that. They still haven't addressed the defense completely. Is there another shoe to drop here? I think there is.
I mean, I would agree with you. I think there has to be. But in a flat cap world where Maple Leafs are right up against it, what other moves can they make? You know, you're right. I mean, I don't think the defense has been the last couple of years. I think you can look back at the last decade where this Maple Leafs, you know, weakness has been their defense. Just look at the guys that, you know, that have come up through their system. Morgan Rielly has really been the only guy that they've drafted and developed and turned into a great player. You know, they had hopes for Dermott. I think, you know, he's still a work in progress. Even though I like everything that he brings, last year was a struggle for him. You saw, you know, the Justin Hall take a nice surprise jump. But obviously, for Kyle Dubas, you've got to continue to find ways to improve your roster. But finding ways to improve your roster right now with not much flexibility becomes a challenge. You know, money in has to be money out. Who are you moving on the back end to help make that happen? Or who are you moving up front to make that happen? And I mean, I still believe that if you were going to make a big move on defense, well, then the big move should have been to do everything you can to get a guy like Alex Pietrangelo. And that didn't happen. They obviously like what they have in TJ Brody. He's a guy that they target, you know, right up until last year. I like everything about the Zach Bogosian move because that contract doesn't really put a lot of pressure on him to come in and be the top guy. You know, he's a guy that obviously found a new lease on life and has moved to Tampa last year and a strong playoff run and winning a championship. And if he can bring everything that he had there to this Toronto group, you know, it's something that can be an exciting move, you know, with players watching what he brings. And I played with Zach. I know who he is as a guy, and he's an outstanding guy to be around. And he's had some troubles with injuries, but we'll see how that one plays out. And for the most part, you know, they need Rielly to continue to take a step. They need Jake Muzzin to continue to elevate his game. And as everyone's saying good things about this Mikko Lehtinen in Russia, who's gotten off to a great start, but he still hasn't played in NHL games, and it's a different game over here. So I think there's a lot of time between now and the start of the season. So if you're Kyle Dubas, you got to continue to explore every option.
We're talking to Carlo Koliakovo. The, you know, all of these moves, but it seems the one that got the biggest attention was the Joe Thornton move. Hall of Famer, no question. Stats last year, not the greatest, but apparently on 5-on, if you actually break it out, like some of the analytics geeks have, on the 5-on-5, his assists were not that bad. His power play minutes were down last year. I was about to say San Diego. The Sharks were not as good a team as they've been in the past. He's 41 years old. He's been in the league 23 years. Sharks were literally a good team for an upper echelon team for most of his career. Played a lot of Team Canada. He's got a lot of miles on those legs. Interesting part about having a lot of mile on those legs, he's actually playing hockey right now over in Switzerland. So God bless him. I mean,
definitely God bless him. I think that's a good thing for him so he can have, you know, at least an idea of how he feels and where he thinks his game is at. But, you know, I think if you're looking to win a PR move, the Maple Leafs definitely did that in bringing in Joe Thornton. You know, it's confusing when you hear messages like, you know, we want to be tougher to play against in our bottom six, and, you know, we want to still add skill, but, you know, focus on bringing in guys that fill certain roles. I don't think you need analytics, or I don't think you need, you know, a yearbook to tell you what you're getting in Joel Thornton. I think everybody who's familiar with hockey knows what you're getting in Joel Thornton. He's a guy who's, you know, played a lot in the league, has a lot of experience playing with great players and accomplishing great feats. But you're not getting Joel Thornton in his prime. You're getting Joel Thornton at the end of his deal. And how much can you expect from a guy when you want to play a fast game, and, you know, he's maybe a guy that can't keep up to that? There's always guys that find a way to get around, whether it's with their size, with their smarts, with their sticks, with certain strengths of their game that they bring, whether it's being good face-off or being, you know, a PP specialist. That's what you're going to get out of Joel Thornton. And I think if anybody expects anything different, well, then, you know, you feel differently about this move. But I think there's more than just playing the game when it comes to adding certain players, and that's what you're getting with Joel Thornton. It's the accountability that he's going to hold players to. It's a voice in the locker room. It's the respect that he's going to earn with the younger players. And obviously, you know, great face-off guy, great power play guy. And, you know, you've seen the messages from former teammates that have come out since the signing that everything attached to Joel Thornton is a home run. And I think that's a huge positive for the Maple Leafs, because it's safe to say that, you know, since they lost guys like Marlowe and Hainsey, guys that were older guys, veteran in the room that maybe these younger guys would look up to, they've kind of gone in a different direction, and there's been a lot of inconsistency in their games, and maybe bringing in more character guys like this can help fix that issue.
Naz?
Carlo, what would have happened if they brought Cherry instead of Thornton?
Well, I wouldn't say what would have happened, because if you believe everything you hear, there's still a possibility that it might happen. You know, I mean, who knows? I mean, obviously, for the Maple Leafs, guys like Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, who have had to play against the Daniel Chara in playoff rounds, I think there would be a lot of excitement on their end, knowing that they wouldn't have to play against a guy like that. But, you know, when we're talking about these older guys, like Thornton, like Spezza, like a guy like Daniel Chara, these guys are physical specimens. They're different breeds. And obviously, you can't expect them to be the guys that you're used to seeing in their primes, but they can fit a certain role that's asked of them. And if that's what it takes for Zdeno Chara to see, you know, things that he likes about this Maple Leafs team, and the Leafs can find a certain role for him, whether it be a penalty kill guy or, you know, just a voice that could, you know, carry the young guys, there's always a certain role and a need for guys like that. But I mean, how many of them do you really need if you're the Maple Leafs? You don't want to be that team that, you know, you focus on young and speed, and next thing you're turning the page and you're focusing on being the oldest team in the league. So I would tread water carefully when you're entertaining those type of ideas.
I just with tongue in cheek here, Carlo. Maybe Kyle Dubas has been reading the history books. Last time the Toronto Maple Leafs won the Stanley Cup, they had a whole bunch of old guys in their lineup. So maybe that the '67 Leafs had a lot of guys in their late 30s in that lineup. So
maybe they're turning back the clock.
maybe that's his new model. I'm kidding, of course.
Obviously.
Leafs draft pick, Carlo. This Russian kid, I can't even pronounce. I'm getting this is Zoomer radio. I'm getting old.
Rodion Amarov.
Yeah. Okay. Tell us what you know about him.
I wish I could tell you what I know about him, because to be honest with you, I don't know much about him.
It didn't seem like the rest of the NHL knew a lot about him either. But
if you just evaluate the Maple Leafs draft this year, the focus was on a lot of European players. And was that because that, you know, it's a guarantee that the European leagues are going to play this year and they're playing right now, and maybe that's important to the development? I don't know. Or maybe the Maple Leafs scouts have only been able to scout those guys, and maybe they have a better feel for them. Like I said, it's unfair for me to comment on the player because I don't know much about him, but just the draft pick itself, I was surprised. I was surprised that they went that route with another small, skilled forward. When I evaluate this Maple Leafs, not just their roster, but their farm system and their depth chart, they're really weak in their defensive prospect pool. And with two players that were available at that position, I thought they would have went that route, but I guess it's a good thing I'm an adult analyst, not a scout, because, you know, I probably would have went a different route there. But, you know, I think Craig Button said it best is, you know, you look at the way the Maple Leafs have drafted, you know, they focused on skill and speed, and size doesn't really matter. But when you have too much of that in your organization or even in your prospect pool, you know, it's always nice to draft and develop, you know, different players, so that when you're going to look for those players, sometimes if you can't find them in a trade or free agency, maybe you just got to look from within. And, you know, I think that's the issue that maybe this Maple Leafs organization faces with their minor league team is they have maybe too many of the same players. And, you know, now when you go look for grit and when you go look for guys that are tougher to play against, you can't look within because your focus has been different. So that's where I think the philosophy needs to, I wouldn't say change because, you know, obviously Kyle and his staff believe in something, but you know, have a little bit more of, have a little bit more of an option where there's different options that you're developing. And I guess that's where you would define the draft. But, you know, it's unfair. Like, I wouldn't even say it's unfair, but it's confusing when you hear people categorize the draft and they say, well, you know, these are guys that you're looking and banking on 2-3 years from now. I have a totally different outlook for that. Like, guys at 18 years old are now more than ever ready to step in and play in the NHL. It's the opportunity that you provide for them that's going to determine whether or not they are guys you can trust. So when you go and draft a guy, you know, your focus should be, you know, seeing this guy be part of your group, whether it's the following year or the year after, or maybe the year after that, because if he's not after 3 years, like a Timothy Liljegren, you know, next guy up is really the way you got to look at it. So I guess we'll see how it plays out.
We've been talking to Carlo Kolyakov. We've got to let you go. We've got a pretty power-packed lineup today. Thanks so much for joining us. 10 seconds or less. Rays, Dodgers, Atlanta Braves. Who's going to be the World Series champion?
Well, I mean, you got to like everything about what the Tampa Bay Rays offer just because they're the unsung heroes. They have a lot of, like, no big name players on that team, and the way they find ways to win is fun to watch. But I mean, if you're a fan of baseball, you want to see the Dodgers in there just because of the name and the players that are on that team. And you know, it's a nice feel good story for Atlanta because Alex Anthopoulos is there, and as a Jays fan, you appreciate everything he did during his tenure here. But I'm cheering for Rays Dodgers.
Carlo Kolyakov, you can listen to him Monday to Friday on TSN's First Up with Mike Landsberg. Always listening, Carlo. You know how much we appreciate you you joining us on a Sunday morning. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me a part of your stack lineup today. Appreciate it.
We'll all be right back.
Good day of football. Talk soon.
Thank you. Bye.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville introduced contact-free delivery. Order and prepay online and choose contact-free delivery. The driver will place your order on your doorstep in a nice, clear, protective bag. Then he'll politely stand back 2 metres and call the number on the receipt. Once you answer the door, he'll give you a little toodaloo and off he goes. Contact-free delivery from pizzaville.ca or the Pizzaville app.
Are you real ready? If you're a real estate agent, we can help you sell more homes. A business owner? We'll help show it off to the community at large. And if you're a homeowner, we'll supply accurate floor plans for every room in your home. Because selling property is all in the details. Real Tours Media, creators of 3D virtual tours, walkthrough video, HDR photography, logos, and brands. Check out the one-stop shop for successful real estate agents. RealToursMedia.ca.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carly understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carly, the intelligent choice.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity and Vaughn. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the number 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
They never argue sports. They just explain while they're always correct. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on the new AM 740 in Toronto, 96.7 FM, and live streaming on the internet, www.zoomerradio.ca. It's always a privilege and a pleasure to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour Raptors analyst Leo Routens. Good morning, Leo. How are you?
I'm great. How's everybody today?
Everybody's great. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. The L.A. Lakers are the NBA champions. Got through the bubble down in Orlando. Now that we've had a week, basically, to assess how it all played out, your parting thoughts on the whole NBA way they structured their playoffs and how Lakers... any surprises there? Your overall impressions of how the NBA finished off their season and their playoffs?
I said this the last time we spoke. The NBA, they were leaders when the pandemic initiated and the NBA stepped up. They suspended the league and literally the whole world kind of followed. There were a lot of people indecisive, a lot of people not sure what to do. The American government wasn't acting on anything, and the NBA suspended their league. And literally by doing so, like I said, many, many followed. Leagues around the world also suspended, and Adam Silver, the commissioner, in my opinion, literally saved thousands and thousands of lives by doing what he did. And so no surprise in resuming, and trying to finish the season, the NBA created a bubble, and the bubble was very sophisticated, it took a great deal of time. They invested $150 million, in the bubble, and the bubble was more than just trying to play games. The bubble actually involved research, funding all kinds of things in coordination with medical entities to further the research and the opportunities to fight COVID. And I think it was a great success. It was difficult for a lot of the teams involved, but the fact to be able to go through that entire process and have literally no one testing positive is a great testament to what they did and to the advancement of many of the COVID protocols going forward in the money they invested. And then, of course, everybody saw the Black Lives Movement and, the protests against injustice. I think the NBA, again, was in the forefront with all that. So many great things in the bubble. And they crowned a champion in a very difficult season. They were able to crown a champion, the Lakers. And once LeBron got to that point where he could smell another championship. He could smell his fourth ring. You knew that he wasn't going to be denied playing against the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat had a tremendous run, a tremendous bubble run, and Pat Riley did a great job of retooling that team. But they were no match really for LeBron James and Anthony Davis, so it was a strong finish for them, but overall a very successful NBA run.
Naz?
Leo, what happened to the Clippers this year? They fell apart at the end. What's going on there?
I wouldn't necessarily say they fell apart at the end. I just say that the bubble affected a lot of teams in a lot of different ways, and you could add the Raptors to that. I thought the Raptors were going to thrive in the bubble. I just thought their makeup and the way they were built, they would thrive. At the same time, at the beginning of the bubble, I thought, looking at the Clippers, I thought they were arguably the best team there, just watching them initially. But things changed. The bubble was a difficult environment. Some teams could handle it. Some teams couldn't. Some individuals could. Some couldn't. And it impacted a lot of people. And I think the Clippers and the Raptors, were impacted significantly by the bubble. So, the Clippers have their issues. you know, the Raptors experienced a lot of issues with Kawhi. I think they handled his needs extremely well, meaning, you know, I think the biggest one being load management and how to deal with the stress on his body and taking care of what he had to take care of. The Clippers did not handle that so well. You're hearing more and more right now, players on a team felt resentment. And also remember when he signed with the Clippers basically sold the farm to get him. They did whatever they had to do to get Kawhi and Paul George for that matter. And if both of these players are not happy and this team is not winning, they're screwed. They're screwed for years to come because of everything they gave away to make it happen. And you're finding out more and more things right now, the concessions they made, the fact that, you know, Kawhi is living in San Diego and basically commuting and, causing people to wait. And, some teams can handle that. Some teams can deal with that. Other teams can't. And, a lot of stuff is starting to come out right now. So, I'm not shocked by any of it. It's just it's what happens when you, when you want to give away the farm, be careful.
Leo, what are the Raptors going to look like next year? Any thoughts on that?
I expect nothing but another solid team to come forward, another team to be making a run in the East. Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster, they know what they have to do to, keep the core together. And there's a very strong core. And to tweak the core and add pieces and move a few pieces around. So, it's early right now, and there's a lot of, as you know, the Raptors don't share a lot of what they're planning to do. They keep things very tight to the vest. But I have a great deal of confidence in management, and it's a confidence based on what I've seen and how they do their business, and it's also a confidence in that you have a management that is all about winning. They've set the bar. The bar is set high. They don't plan on lowering that bar. Their expectations are extremely high, and they'll do everything they can to fulfill those expectations. So I'm excited about next season, whenever that may be. that's the big question now. What kind of season? When is it going to start? What kind of season is it going to be? Is it going to involve a bubble or several bubbles, or would there be an attempt to put fans in the stands? There's so many variables at this point, we have no idea.
Naz?
Is there anybody on the Raptors bench that you see coming up and playing a much bigger role next year?
I don't see anybody that's going to have a much bigger, significant role. I mean, Terrence Davis, I think, is a player that didn't get a lot of playing time in the playoffs, but had, a great rookie year. And if he continues to develop, he's certainly going to be more of a rotational player. That, there's no question about that. I think you're still in development with a lot of younger players, and you're still, the key decisions are, what core do you keep? What core do you, try to retain? And how do you supplement that core? How do you give that core a better chance to succeed with potential moves? So, I think those are going to be the bigger questions for this team.
As we got deeper into we're talking to Leo Routens. As we got deeper into the NBA Finals, Leo, it seemed to become obvious, except for a little curve at the end, that the Lakers were headed towards a championship. And of course, then the story became who's the greatest of all time, LeBron or Michael? And of course, everybody's got an opinion on that. I think it's difficult to suggest that LeBron is greater than Michael Jordan. The other argument seems to be easier to make. Where do you sit on that debate? I know it's a fun debate. People like to have these debates. We have it about Tom Brady in the NFL, and Gretzky and Bobby Orr in the NHL. LeBron, MJ, your thoughts on that one, Leo? It became an interesting topic of debate as the NBA Finals came to a conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to get these debates, and quite frankly, I'm not a big fan of those debates. I'm more of a fan of appreciating what you have in front of you and enjoying it. As players from different eras bring different things to the table. You know, the game is very different today for LeBron than it was for Michael Jordan. LeBron has, you know, statistically, people are going to look at LeBron and say, wow, you know, look, she's shattering the record books. Well, you know, a lot of that is, you know, longevity, right? He has an incredible body. He came along at a time where you can do more and take care of your body better than at any other time. And he does that. He invests, you know, seven figures in his body every year on keeping it where it needs to be. But to be able to stay as fit and as healthy and as strong as he has, you know, like I said, he's going to shatter the record books. And people are going to just automatically put him at the top because of that. And I don't think that's fair either. You know, you look at Mike, to me, and again, this is, it's personal because, you know, I've had conversations, for example, Wayne Embry, you know, consultant with the Toronto Raptors and is a great historical, has the best historical reference of anybody I've ever spoken to about the NBA in so many ways. If you talk to Wayne Embry, he's probably going to say Oscar Robertson's the best player to ever play. And I can't have that discussion with him. I can't have that argument with him because I don't have a frame of reference that could properly have that discussion. Same thing. You know, if you want to talk Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell, I can't have those discussions. So I trust him and I trust his judgment. And in my judgment, Michael Jordan's the greatest player I've ever seen. And you know, I love LeBron. I love how he plays the game. I love, you know, what he's been able to do. But to me, Michael Jordan was something that, as a player, I've never seen. I've never seen anybody do what he did, how he did it, and as I don't know if the best word is, as viciously as he approached playing the game. So you know, like I said, I appreciate what I get to see. We're living at a time where we get to see LeBron, and you know. When I'm an old man and people are going to be talking about, this guy has this record and this record. Yeah, let me tell you about him. Just like I can tell you about Michael Jordan from what I saw. So that's the way I look at it. Again, they're all great in their own right, and we should just appreciate it.
On that note, Leo, we're going to thank you. We always appreciate your thoughts, your passion, and your insights. Thanks so much for taking the time for us this morning.
All right, guys, have a great Sunday. And for everybody, let's stay safe. All right, we got a long way to go. Keep your mask on and stay safe.
Absolutely. Wise words. Leo Rhodes, thanks so much.
Thanks.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville introduced contact-free delivery. Order and prepay online and choose contact-free delivery. The driver will place your order on your doorstep in a nice, clear, protective bag. Then he'll politely stand back 2 metres and call the number on the receipt. Once you answer the door, he'll give you a little toodaloo and off he goes. Contact-free delivery from pizzaville.ca or the Pizzaville app.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity and Vaughn. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
Are you real ready? If you're a real estate agent, we can help you sell more homes. A business owner? We'll help show it off to the community at large. And if you're a homeowner, we'll supply accurate floor plans for every room in your home. Because selling property is all in the details. Real Tours Media, creators of 3D virtual tours, walkthrough video, HDR photography, logos, and brands. Check out the one-stop shop for successful real estate agents. RealToursMedia.ca.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carley understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carley, the intelligent choice.
not here to be nice. They're here to be right. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on the new AM 740 in Toronto, 96.7 FM. And on the internet, www.zoomerradio.ca. We're pleased to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, Joe Theismann. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. How are you this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning of NFL football?
Yeah, well, you know what? We're looking forward to it, Joe. Football's the one sport that's in season. You know, we watch the NHL and the NBA. It's kind of tough to watch those in the middle of the summer. But NFL football and NCAA football, for that matter, in season. And we're thrilled. Thanks so much for joining us, Joe. We hope you're well. Where there's a big buzz in Southern Ontario and Western New York, Joe, and we got to get your thoughts on it. The Buffalo Bills were off to a fantastic start. They were 4-0. They got it handed to them a little bit this week by Tennessee, but there's a buzz around the quarterback, Josh Allen. Joe, you are a keen observer of quarterbacks and obviously a keen observer of football. Tell us your thoughts on Josh Allen and your thoughts on the Buffalo Bills.
I have really, really enjoyed watching Josh Allen grow into the role, and it's a continuing process, and this is something a lot of people don't really understand. I mean, you look at Joe Burrow and now Justin Herbert with the Chargers, and everybody says, oh, look at him. You know, physically, there's a part of the game that is very polished, but there's the mental growing process, and, you know, Josh is learning to do that. When he first came into the league, I didn't necessarily think he was the best of throwers. He's starting to throw the ball much better, much more accurately, has got a cannon for an arm. He's a big guy. He understands, what it's like to be able to run. The thing that he's going to have to learn is, number one, don't take hits if you don't have to. Just ask Cam Newton about that. Even though you're a big physical presence, it is going to wear on you. And I think the game against Tennessee last week was a real eye-opener for him and for the Bills. And everybody said the Bills are going to win the division going away now. Tom Brady's out of New England. They forget how great a coach Bill Belichick is. And you just can't all of a sudden say, this one change is going to make that much of a difference. But I really like the progress that Josh Allen is making. And I do like the Buffalo Bills a lot. I think they're a solid defensive football team. And you know, they proved last week, if you make mistakes, it's hard to win.
Naz?
So, Tennessee made the AFC final last year. Are we underrating them?
I think so, Naz. I really do. I think they're sort of flying under the radar. Ryan Tannehill did a fantastic job. I mean, here's a classic case of a guy who was drafted, was really a converted wide receiver to quarterback, and really hadn't played a lot at that position. Goes to Miami, and everybody's like, oh, the kid can't play. He's a bust. Mid-season, he gets traded to Tennessee, and all of a sudden, he changes that football team. And I think Arthur Smith has done a great job as a coordinator. There's somebody else who's underrated. And plus, having Derrick Henry doesn't hurt. I mean, he's just a big old horse. We saw what Najee did and was able to do with Alabama last night and the type of back he is. So I really think people aren't taking him seriously yet. It's a big game. This was a big game for them against Buffalo. You know, they really, I think, proved a point that, hey, look, it wasn't a fluke last year we made the playoffs. It was real.
I'm talking to Joe Theismann. Joe, in the greater Toronto area, Southern Ontario for that matter, we have a lot of, not this year, unfortunately, because we can't cross the border, but there's a lot of us that like to make the trek to Orchard Park to watch the Bills. But there's almost as many, if not more, that like to make the trek down to Pittsburgh to watch the Steelers. There's a lot of extremely passionate Pittsburgh Steeler fans in Southern Ontario and in the greater Toronto area. And the Steelers are off to a great start. All my Steelers buddies are all excited this year. What's going on down in Pittsburgh, Joe?
Well, first of all, Walter, I think they should be excited. You know, Big Ben goes to show you what that one position is all about. When with Big Ben back, And with a vengeance, too. I mean, he's come back to really prove something. Everybody said, you know, Ben's going to retire this year. No, he's not. You know, he's just started getting his feet wet again. I think the Steelers are playing really good defense. And that's really where they hung their hat for so many years. This is going to be a great test against Cleveland because Cleveland's got a lot of individual physical talent. I think it's a terrific test for Baker Mayfield, and it's a terrific test for the Steelers because it is a divisional game. Cleveland is 4-1. You look at the way they've been playing, and now you have to say to yourself, this is going to be one of those. It's sort of become the heavyweight division again with Baltimore being who they are. Of course, Cincinnati growing, and then Cleveland and the Steelers. But, you know, is there anything but a passionate Steeler fan? No matter where in North America you are, Walter, they are passionate fans. They're the fans that are committed no matter what. They're smart fans. There's a difference between fans who just really support the team and all of a sudden they struggle and go, I don't like them anymore. But the Steeler fans are loyal all the way, and they understand what happened to their football team last year. And, of course, you know, this is the game. Cleveland was the game last year with Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph ripping helmets off. And I read where Myles Garrett said that, you know, expected it to be a clean game. Well, that's on you. It's emotions run high in our game. And there's a lot at stake. And what we don't realize, I mean, you're looking at the sixth game of the season now. We're basically almost to the halfway point of our season, which you wouldn't believe. I mean, just as an FYI for those of you that are Major League Baseball fans, these playoffs are incredible. I mean, the NBA was incredible, and everybody sort of expected the Lakers to do what they did. I know the NHL was incredible, and I just have to commend all the commissioners that have done a terrific job. And in particular, I just want to say this about the basketball players were locked in that bubble forever, and they did a terrific job managing themselves, being really professional about the way they went about their jobs. And I think the National Football League has benefited from the other sports having to deal with this pandemic and making adjustments accordingly. This year is far from normal. And they're never, you know, Walter and Naz, they'll never be a normal again. You know, we're creating what is about to be a new normal.
We're talking to Joe Theismann. Naz?
Joe, Chase Claypool, great Notre Dame receiver now, starting in Pittsburgh. What do you think of him? And I have to ask you a question. When you came up to the Argos, you had to play with Canadian players. How was the talent when you played compared to now?
In the Canadian League, Naz?
Yes. Canadian-born players.
Well, Canadian-born players. We had more, you know, we had more Canadian-born players than we did than American kids. First of all, Claypool is, you know, I mean, he gives them a big physical presence, and I think that's really important. He's another one that'll grow into the position more and more. He was a big target at Notre Dame. He's a big target for Ben. You know, they had Antonio who could run, and now you've got a bigger wide receiver, a big guy who can go get the ball. And in this day and age of 50-50 balls, I think his talent and his skills are very important. As far as the talent on our football team, when I played with the Argos, I mean, you know, Dave Ramey was an American guy, but you know, Mike Eben was a wide receiver, and Paul Desjardins was our center. Paul was a PhD in biochemistry. Mike Eben was a PhD in Germanic languages. We don't have a whole lot of PhDs down here when it comes to guys that were able to do both because of the commitments. And it's a different time and a different age. You know, I thought our Canadian talent, Peter Martin, Mike Eben, Tony Morrow, you know, almost every crane in Toronto's part of Tony's company. You talk about somebody who's gone on and done very well. I can name, it's really funny you guys bring this up. I had a conversation with somebody who was Canadian just the other day. I was playing golf. And I sat and I reeled off all the guys I played with. Gene Mack, Leon McQuay, Billy Simon, Mike Eben, Paul Desjardins, Noah Jackson, Mel Prophet, Marv Luster, Flea Allen. I can name more guys, I think, or at least equally as many guys that I played with on the Toronto Argonaut football team than I can that I played with the Washington football team. It was a fun bunch of guys. It was a fun time in our society. You know, everything was much freer. People's opinions, the hostility didn't exist that it does in the world towards one another, it seems, which is just reaching a point that, you know, you shake your head. You know, the three of us have been around on this earth for quite a while, and we're very blessed to be able to do the things we're able to do. I have great concern for this, for our children and our grandchildren. But we've got to get something straightened out in society before we mess this thing up completely.
I will say hear on that one, Joe. And Naz, thanks for that Canadian football question. I've listening to Joe talk about the early 1970s Argos has brought a huge smile to my face. Going down that memory lane, certainly a wonderful moment for me this morning. Joe, we've got a few minutes left. I always like the opportunity to get your critical analysis of quarterbacks. The Tom Brady, Cam Newton exchange, Tom Brady in Tampa. What's your assessment of his game so far? It seems to be throwing more picks than he normally does. Your thoughts on that transfer and Cam Newton in New England? How's that working out?
Well, first of all, I think Tom, you know, you see what happens when you don't have a chance to work with people. No OTAs, no mini camps, no training camp, no preseason to any extent. And you could see that I always felt that the first three regular season games were going to be glorified preseason games where players are getting in condition, players are getting to know one another. And now you're going to start to see who football teams really are and how well they can play. I think Tom was a victim of a lack of familiarity with the people around him, a lack of familiarity with the system. You saw how hot he got the other day. I mean, he was so mad he lost track of down. He was upset with the stupid penalties that some of his linemen were making. I mean, you know, as a quarterback, you pick up 10 yards on a pass and all of a sudden you get a holding penalty. You've lost 25 yards. It seemed like in this game, Tom was taking one step forward, two steps back. And then he just, I think he just got so mad that he sort of lost track a little bit of down and distance. He would have never thrown that pass on fourth down had he thought it was fourth down. But I expect him to get better and better and better, and I expect the Tampa Bay Bucs to get better and better. That's why this game against Green Bay is huge. It's a great litmus test for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, much more so than the Packers, because Aaron and Matt have been together. So, and as far as the other question goes with Cam Newton, I thought New England was the perfect place for Cam. As a matter of fact, Cam has thrown the ball better up until he had, you know, had to take a step back on the COVID. He has thrown the ball so much better than he did down in Carolina. His footwork was good. His accuracy was good. He runs when he has to. And this is where you have to give Josh McDaniels an awful lot of credit, the offensive coordinator in New England. He had Tom Brady, who rushed for 34 yards last year. Last year, okay? Not last game, last year. Cam almost averages that a game with his athletic skills. And so they've accommodated and really morphed the system to fit into the players. And it's just it's the way it should be. See what you have and let the system work for them and fit them. Don't fit them into a system. Let the system be developed around them.
Joe, we only got a few minutes left. We won't keep you much longer. Naz, I'll turn it over to you for a question for Joe, and then I'll wrap it up with Joe. I got to ask you.
Aaron Rodgers had a great start of the season. How good are the Packers? Can they go all the way?
I think they can. I don't know who's going to challenge them. Aaron Rodgers, to me, is the most is the greatest thrower of the football I've ever seen. His accuracy is uncanny. His release is second to none. His ability to throw the ball on the run is second to none. He understands what that system is all about now. He and Matt are on the same page. He has input into the offense. He gets Devontae Adams back, I think, for this game. So, you know, the pieces of the puzzle are coming around. They run the football very well, which is always great for a quarterback. I think the Packers, to me, have to be the Packers in the NFC certainly are the team that I'm looking at. And everybody says Seattle this, Seattle that. Seattle is just, you may as well change them to the Russell Wilson football team. There's absolutely no reason to call them the Seattle Seahawks, because he is the entire offense. His ability to be able to make plays is why they're where they are as an undefeated football team, even though they have the bye this week, which I think comes at a good time for them to sort of reassess and reload. But I think Cam's in the perfect place where he could be, and I think Tom made the right decision to go where he is. Coincidentally, the Super Bowl is supposed to be played in Tampa this year, so we'll see. And it could be a home game. Never know.
Joe, before we let you go, I can't let you go without talking about my beloved Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I can't say it was a great performance yesterday. I guess they did what they had to do to win, but it's certainly not going to advance them in the polls. They're probably going to drop them in the polls. Your assessment of the Fighting Irish?
Up until this game, I was impressed with the way they did a lot of things. They played a football team that wasn't expected to be that good, but you saw the problem they had dealing with speed and athleticism. How many times did we see our safeties and linebackers get caught inside? And, you know, whether it was a running back, whether it was a quarterback, whatever it might be, just got outside. I thought it was one of the poorest performances I've seen in a win in a long time. And I'm sure Coach Kelly let them know. That was not the Notre Dame football team that we expected to see, nor can we see. You got to remember, the Big Ten hasn't started playing yet. So we were ranked fourth in the country and struggled against Louisville, which Louisville, I think, was a better football team than anybody gave them credit for or their record indicated. They're very athletic. They're very fast. And they do things well. They put some drives together. But certainly our defense has to play better, and we need to make some plays on offense. You can't be dropping opportunities. You can't be dropping two-point conversions. You can't be dropping chances to be able to make plays. You don't get that many in our game. And so I expect them, like you, they'll probably drop. I mean, Ohio State's going to enter the fold now. You've got the Big Ten coming in. More and more teams are going to play. People are going to look at it. And you have to say to yourself, you know, and everybody's sort of pointing to that litmus test, which is going to be Clemson coming up in the not-too-distant future. So on November, I think, 7th.
So, really quickly, before I let you go, Trevor Lawrence, how good is this kid?
He's really good. I mean, we saw what Joe Burrow did a year ago. But Trevor Lawrence has been in this system a lot longer. He's big, he's smart, got great touch on the ball. But remember one thing, Walter. Normally, when a team gets a first pick in the draft, they need more than just a quarterback to be competitive. We've seen a lot of number one quarterbacks wind up being starters and have great careers after they left the team that initially drafted them because the pieces weren't around that individual. You look what Baltimore did to Cincinnati a week ago. It gives you a chance to get a feel for it. Even though Joe Burrow, I think, is very special, it is a team game. And I think Trevor Lawrence, after the show he put on yesterday, he could have put up 800 yesterday, which is amazing.
We've been talking to Joe Theismann. Joe, we've probably taken up more time than we should have, and we apologize for that. Thank you.
Walter, listen, it's always great to catch up with you. And by the way, my book is out called How to Be a Champion Every Day, 6 Timeless Keys to Success. So you can order it on Amazon. I hope it's a fun read for people. They enjoy it. It talks about the world of sports, the world of business, and our own lives and how they parallel one another.
Joe, I know you're one of the best motivational speakers out there, so I highly encourage our listeners to get a copy of the book. Joe, once again, thanks so much for joining us. It's certainly our privilege. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Walter. Naz, you guys take care. Please stay safe during these crazy times. We will get through this.
We will. Thanks for that, Joe. We appreciate it.
Naz,
we've got about a minute left. Baseball. Actually enjoyed watching the game last night. The NBA ratings were down, and, you know, people had all kinds of different theories about it. My biggest theory is just because it's not in season. But baseball, really, the World Series, there's a rhythm to sports, and this is baseball World Series time. And I kind of
found it enjoyable to watch some fantastic baseball this week. Ness?
Going to be Tampa and LA, it looks like to me. I think Atlanta is going to lose to LA today. But I'd like to make an announcement that congratulations on you becoming a grandparent, you and Rita. Very, very nicely done, Wally. Nicely done. Mary Lane, congratulations
nicely.
Also.
Not nicely done by me, nicely done by my daughter, Andrea, and my son-in-law, Jason. Certainly a thrill for our family, and got a lot of friends and cohorts that have already are grandparents. Certainly a wonderful moment. Thanks for that, Naz. I appreciate it. Unfortunately, the time has tick-tocked past 10 o'clock. Naz, I wish you the best this week, and to all our listeners, have a fantastic week. We'll be back again next Sunday morning. Thank you.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.